Deerhead Radio on AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears in Paso Robles, 1621 North River Road. Shifting Gears has you covered from your weekend cruiser to your daily commuter. And now let's join Jimmy Purdy on The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL, 99.3 FM, and KPRL.com.
Good morning and welcome to Gearhead Radio. Thanks for tuning in. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. Text line is also open, which is the same number, 805-238-5775. If you have any questions about your vehicle or about the auto industry, feel free to text or call in at any time. I am here for the next hour to be interrupted. Not typically one of my most favorite things in the world to deal with, but that's why I'm here for an hour. This is the one chance to interrupt me while I'm talking for the next hour. So always feel free to call in at any time. If you're just tuning in for the first time, welcome in. Every Saturday at 9 a.m. from 9 to 10 here on The Right Choice. I'm here to bring you my decade or so of automotive experience. That doesn't mean I know everything, but I know enough to know I don't know it all. AAC certified master technician of over a decade, shop owner right here locally in Paso Robles. Transmission rebuilding was something I did for a very long time. Smog technician, auto repair, electrical diagnostics, you name it, I've definitely screwed it up. So, if you have any questions, feel free to call in and I give you my best advice. Whether you take it or not, that's up to you, but you're always welcome to call in. All right, first things first, let's kick off with some weather because we do have some rain in the forecast for next week. Got to be prepared for that if you're driving around in it. So today, high of 79, tomorrow, 74. What an awesome weekend we got today for this weekend. Mostly sunny, little AM clouds tomorrow morning. Looks like Sunday's going to be absolutely perfect. Monday, 70, mostly sunny. Nice way to kick off the weekend or the week. Tuesday is when our rain's rolling in. So 60 degrees with a chance of showers throughout the county. So be prepared for that. Wednesday, it's clearing up, high of 66. And it kind of trends upwards that way from Thursday being high of 71 to about 80 degrees next weekend. So we got some nice weather coming in. A little bit of rain, probably a little bit of drizzle. It'll probably pass us, but I don't know if we're going to have the rain that we had the last week, but it looks like it's a decent little bout of rain coming in. So get your windshield wipers taken care of. Make sure your tires are still in good shape. All that safety stuff you got to worry about. The front and the rear. Don't forget about that rear windshield wiper. It is convenient when you need it. You know, another little tip for vehicles too is your reverse camera. That's like pretty standard on most vehicles now. You got the little screen, so you don't even have to turn around anymore. You just look at the screen and it tells you what's behind you. Whether you trust it or not, I don't know. That seems to be a pretty polarizing subject. It's like, I'd rather turn around and look. I don't trust that camera. Okay. I mean, sure. But clean that little lens on the camera. That helps a lot. Good morning on Gearhead Radio.
Good morning, Jimmy.
Hey.
Hey, I have a 2002 Chevrolet Tahoe, 4.8 liter V8. I picked up a trouble codes on this car. I wonder if I can run them by you real quick.
Absolutely, let's hear them.
Okay, it says something. I got P1153 and a PO300. It says something about heated oxygen sensor insufficient. Bank two or
and a misfire.
One. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, O2 sensor heater and a misfire.
Yeah, and multiple cylinder misfires. Yeah, yep. Random multiples. What do I do?
That's a great question. So, with the O2 sensor heater circuit, there is a way to test those heater circuits. How many miles are on the vehicle?
About
150,000. Okay. If you've never done O2 sensors, they're probably about at the end of their life anyway. The first thing to fail on those is the heater circuit. So as you start the vehicle, there's little heaters built into the oxygen sensors that will heat up the sensors so they're more accurate more quickly. Over time, that heater element just burns out and you'll get an open circuit. Now, also, there is a possibility that rodents might have got up there. Maybe the wire is laying on the exhaust. So there's a few different possibilities where the wiring and the circuit might be bad. So I always like to disconnect the O2 sensor and then just test the heater circuit element. There's four wires on that O2 sensor. Two of them are the same color. The rest of them are different. Sometimes they're blue, black, gray, but typically the O2 sensors are going to be either black wires or white wires and they'll be the same color. And you can test it with an ohm meter. The easiest thing is to go buy the new sensor, see what that ohms out at, and then test it with the new one. If you're not familiar with a multimeter, how to do an ohm test, it's a fairly simple assessment to do, or you can just swap out the O2 sensor and then see if the code goes away. I'm not a big fan of just swapping parts out, but with that many miles on it, it's not going to hurt to put some new O2 sensors on it.
Okay, where would you recommend picking the sensor up? AutoZone, O'Reilly's?
Just make sure where you get it's a Bosch O2 sensor.
Okay.
Yeah, the NTKs are typically universal, so you're going to be fighting that trying to get in. The Bosch are going to be like the direct replacement. Those are for the GMs. I've had the best luck with those.
All right. Would it hurt to drive it if I wanted to just bring it up and have you go?
Oh, not at all. No, the O2 sensor is the heater element on there. And even the O2 sensors themselves, they're just kind of for fine control for fuel adjustment. So they help save the catalytic converter and they help a little bit of fuel economy. So again, if you put brand new ones in there, if they're getting a little lazy or a little sluggish, putting two new ones in there is going to help fuel economy big time, especially with 150,000 miles on there. So it'd be a good idea to test the circuit, make sure that we've actually fixed the main problem, but replacing the O2 sensors is kind of part of maintenance, right? It's like changing the PCB valve or changing the fuel filter, the air filter. It's kind of an overlooked maintenance item and typically they don't get replaced unless they set a code. So, but yeah, absolutely, okay. Something we can help you with. And then with the Misfire, the PO300 is a little bit unique because do you feel anything when you're driving down the road? Do you feel it kind of bucking or jerking? And when you take off, does it feel like it stutters at all?
Yeah, very slightly, but I do notice it. It just happened starting last week.
Okay. Well, that's good. At least we have an indication of what might be going on. Have you done like spark plugs or like a general tune-up on it in the last, say, 60 or 70,000 miles?
Yeah, you did it.
Okay.
It was probably about 30,000 maybe.
Okay.
30,000.
Well, if we got a bad plug, that's definitely something we'll take care of for you at no cost at all. So, yeah, we definitely want to check to see if we got maybe a plug that's starting to fail a little premature or if the wires or maybe an ignition coil. On that one there, they have individual coils for each cylinder, and it's not not typically something that's replaced unless it starts to fail. So, we might just have an ignition coil that's deciding to call it quits. And that'd be something where with the general 300, it just says there's a misfire somewhere. So we need to get it to act up more consistently so we can figure out which cylinder it is that's actually acting up. Cause it's very, very rare to have all eight cylinders all misfiring, you know, at once. It'd be almost not drivable if it was like that. So we would just have to spend a little time and figure out which cylinder exactly is causing the problem. And sometimes we can get it with the data on the scan tool. It'll show us which cylinder has the most misfires because it'll cause what they call like phantom misfires. So even though like say cylinder one is misfiring, it's slowing down the crankshaft speed enough to where it thinks maybe cylinder four and cylinder five is also misfiring because the speed of the crankshaft is changing so rapidly. And so we just have to get in there with some scan tool data and actually determine which cylinder is causing the problem.
Okay.
Yeah.
The other thing is it said switching bank two sensor one. That mean anything?
What's that?
It says bank two sensor one.
Yep.
HO25 switching sensor one. I don't know.
Yeah, that might have something to do with the misfire. I always like to, misfires kind of take precedence for diagnostic before anything else. So if that sensor's the passenger side and it's the before the cat sensor. So if that one of those cylinders on that side is misfiring and we got a bunch of excessive air getting into the O2 sensor, it's going to skew that sensor and the computer is going to think either A, the sensor's bad or we have something else going on. So fixing the fuel control problem first and then seeing if that O2 sensor code comes back. But again, if that sensor is also the one that has the failed heater element, then it just needs to be replaced.
Okay. I'll call you Monday and maybe bring it up and just drop it off.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll take a look at it for you.
One other thing. Oh, today, they're having that Taco Fest at the Warbirds.
Oh, that's today.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for reminding me. Yes, cool.
Yeah, I think, it goes today and tomorrow. I think it starts at 11, but it could be 12 to 7 or something like that. And tomorrow's, you know. Anyway.
So it's all weekend.
All right, Jimmy.
Hey, thanks for the heads up.
All right.
We'll see you next week.
Now.
Bye. Taco Fest at the Estrella Warbird Museum. I forgot about that one. How did I forget about that? Yeah, great questions, great stuff. Stuff we see like almost, I feel like daily with vehicles, misfires, O2 sensor codes. If you were following along with the misfire, the PO300, that code is generic for any sort of misfire. And then you can kind of diagnose or the computer diagnoses it a little bit further with like a PO301, 302, 303, 304, and so on. And if you're following along there, it's that the number at the end of that sequence is going to contribute to which cylinder is bad. So, you know, PO304, cylinder 4, PO305, cylinder 5, and so on and so forth. Now, the misfire monitor can only, it doesn't have like a little special sensor in each cylinder that can determine which cylinder is misfiring. There's not like a little person sitting there monitoring, oh, this cylinder's slowing down, speed up. It just does it based off how fast the crankshaft is spinning. So there's only one sensor that monitors the crankshaft that can determine which cylinder is misfiring. And you're thinking, man, how does it know which cylinder it is? Well, I'm going to talk about that here right after the break.
Hi, it's Brian Carroll from A1 Glass. Get rewarded when you upgrade to Milgard windows and doors and earn up to $100 back per patio door and up to $40 back per Milgard window. Enjoy better comfort, energy efficiency, a home that looks incredible, and huge savings. Don't wait, the spring sales event ends June 8th. Plus, A1 Glass is your local family-owned award-winning team, voted best on the Central Coast. A1 Glass, for all your glass needs.
Qualifying Milgard products only. Rewards issued as electronic gift cards. See A1 Glass for details.
Visit Deeds Bar and Grill at the Paso Robles Golf Club. Enjoy Prime Rib Monday, Taco Tuesday, weekday happy hour, and Thursday through Saturday dinner specials. Watch your favorite sports indoors or out. The covered veranda boasts heaters and coolers to fit the season. Deeds is open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week with breakfast on weekends. Play at Paso, dine at Deeds. There's no place like it. Paso Robles Golf Club on Country Club Drive in Paso Robles.
Hi, this is Chris from We Help You Legal. Legal documents should be simple and affordable. At We Help You Legal, there are no lawyers and no high costs. Just certified experts to assist you with living trusts, wills, divorce matters, corporations, and LLCs.
Hi, I'm Christina. We also offer notary services. You can find us online at wehelpyoulegal.com or call 805-237-7770.
We Help You Legal, your Central Coast legal document company.
Hello, it's me, Jared, with Hutch Heating and Air. When was the last time you changed your filter or had your air conditioner looked at by a pro? Yes, a pro. Did you know your air conditioner can lose small amounts of refrigerant over time, wasting your hard-earned money to cool down your home without you noticing anything wrong? So save a buck and remember us. Heater not helping much? Call Hutch at 466-8199 or look us up on the web at hutchheatingandair.com.
What should you look for when choosing an insurance agent? Experience is a key quality. A good agent responds promptly. It gives you clear explanations, letting you know exactly all the details of your policy. And a good agent has good listening skills, and a good agent takes the time to understand your unique situation. A good agent, like Kevin Hunt Insurance, 105 South Main Street in Templeton. Call 805-434-3276.
Attention all computer users. Tired of the hassle of transferring your data to a new computer? Knowledge Computers, your local computer repair experts, are here to help. With 17 years of experience, they know how important it is to keep your data safe and secure. That's why they offer a seamless data transfer service that will transfer your entire Windows operating system to a new computer. Call Knowledge Computers today to take the hassle out of your computer upgrade. 805-226-5200. Knowledge Computers, locals helping locals.
Thank you. And welcome back. You are tuned in to Gearhead Radio on AM 1230 KPRL. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. Feel free to call in with any questions about your vehicle at any time. I am Jimmy Purdy. I'm your host for Gearhead Radio. I'm also the owner of Shifting Gears Auto Repair, located right here in Paso Robles, 1621 North River Road. Check us out online at shiftinggears805.com. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, all that social media as well. It's 2026. I got to, you have to be on there. That's just the way it is. I feel like. I also like doing a lot of stuff that's like face to face in person too. So I do a lot of community events too. So probably you'll see me around. Anyways, if you're just tuning in for the first time, welcome in. We had a call before the break. I kind of want to unpack a little bit. There's a lot of great questions there, a lot of great information. I think I can add to that. So with the misfire issue that we're talking about, PO300, I'm sure it's something you've seen in your vehicle. If not, you will eventually. That's one of the most common codes, other than the catalytic converter code, that you'll see. Now, like I was saying, there is no individual like monitor or sensor for each individual cylinder to determine, oh, PO3, you know, cylinder 4 is not contributing, so we'll set a code for cylinder 4. It's the crankshaft speed. So the crankshaft sensor can determine where the trigger is for cylinder 1, then it knows the firing order, and it knows exactly which cylinder, based on timing of the revolutions per minute that the crankshaft is spinning, of which cylinder is slowing down the crankshaft. Right. So if you have a misfiring cylinder, you have a cylinder that's not utilizing the explosion of the air in the fuel, so naturally that's going to slow down that crankshaft. And that's what you feel when you're going down the road. You feel you're going down the road, the engine's running along. You have one of the cylinders decides it doesn't want to fire anymore, and then you feel like the car jerk and it bucks. And that's because one of the pistons slowed down the crankshaft, which in turn slowed down the transmission, which in turn slowed down the drive shaft, and so on and so forth. And then you felt it in the seat of your pants. Sometimes it's misinterpreted for a transmission issue. 9 times out of 10, it's actually the misfire of the engine, because it's very quick, it's very abrupt, and it feels like the transmission just slipped. But it's a misfire. It's the crankshaft slowing down. And it's very common to think that the transmission is slipping, because that's exactly what it feels like. It feels like the transmission briefly disengaged and then re-engaged. So it's very fair to assume that. Now back to the misfire monitor. Now what's happening there, as that crankshaft speed slows down and speeds up, all it's doing is a little bit of math. It's just a quick little algorithm to say we're at, you know, 2200, 2500 RPMs, revolutions per minute. It measured where the trigger wheel is, which is where number 1 is, and then it counted the time till it got to the misfire and made a calculation and say, so it's cylinder 5. Now, it's not always right. Usually is, though. But sometimes they can get what they call phantom misfires. Now, as the crankshaft slows down, you may put a throttle input or accelerate, or if you just started the vehicle, it might be in a warm-up process where the IAC, the idle air control, is taking over, so it's fluctuating the RPMs. So you have some outside influences there that's changing the RPM speeds. Now, as you're doing that, that's going to affect how fast the crankshaft is spinning. So if it notices a dropout in one of the cylinders, and then all of a sudden maybe the cylinder on the opposite side of the firing order, like if it's like a 184, right, firing order, if cylinder 1 misfires, well, 8's not going to be quite back up to speed yet, and then it's going to have a phantom misfire for cylinder 8. Now, it wasn't severe enough to cause that to trigger, I say, well, cylinder 8's definitely misfiring, but it definitely saw a notice in speed, so it's just going to say a PO300. It's going to say, we have a random misfire somewhere, because there was two, one's about half speed, the other one's full speed. Whatever the algorithm is in the vehicle, that's in the manufacturer put in the vehicle, that's what it's going to do. And typically, the PO300 is the safest way to do it, because it's a one-trip logic. So the first time it sees that deviation, it's going to set the code. Now, with misfires, there's also what they call catalytic converter damaging misfires. So if it's consistent enough where every single time that crankshaft is spinning over, if it's a two-trip logic where it sees a misfire twice in a row, it starts flashing that engine light. And that's what a flashing engine light is. It's a severe catalyst damaging misfire. And it does that because that cylinder is just becoming like an air compressor, but there's also the potential of just raw fuel. The computer is just going to automatically think there's no spark and that we're just dumping air and fuel, and that raw fuel is going right back into the catalytic converter and it can damage it. Now, sometimes the fuel is the problem why it's not misfiring. We're not getting fuel to the cylinder. So it's just a, you know, but it's going to always default to the fact of thinking, okay, the spark is bad, the spark plug's bad, the wire's bad, the coil's bad, and we're just dumping fuel in. Now, a lot of manufacturers actually, when they have that catalytic damaging misfire, they shut the fuel injectors off, which can be very misleading when it comes to diagnostics if you don't read service information. So if you don't know how the manufacturers operate, you can really chase yourself into quite a bit of a circle there, a little bit chasing your own tail, thinking the fuel injector's bad, but it's actually the computer shutting down that fuel injector because it sees that misfire. So diagnostics are, they're not as straightforward as it might sound like when I talk about them, because every manufacturer is a little different. Chrysler is fantastic for doing that. Chrysler will shut down, if it sees a misfire, it will shut down spark and fuel on that cylinder. It just shuts everything down, the first misfire on that cylinder. So you can see how that could really throw you in the wrong direction, right? All of a sudden now you're, oh wow, we have no fuel injector. We have no fuel injector pulse. There's no voltage going to the computer. There's no spark. Man, this thing's gonna need a computer. And that's very common. I see that diagnostics a lot when it comes to misfires on those Chryslers. They put a computer and it doesn't fix the misfire. Well, the computer was just shutting everything down. For one, it shuts it down because it doesn't want to damage the computer. Say if the ignition coil is failed and it's shorted internally, it doesn't want to keep grounding that circuit for the chance of if it's shorted internally, it's gonna burn the computer up. So it does shut down that driver circuit completely that goes to that ignition coil to ensure that it doesn't damage itself. I mean, this stuff's just, you learn it with time, but also you learn it with like reading service information and knowing how the engineers designed the system. So my point is, when you're doing your diagnostics in your driveway or in your backyard, in your garage, wherever you are, keep that in mind that sometimes it's not the cause, but it's the effect, right? Sometimes when there's an issue, the computer system is designed to try to save itself, and it will lead you into the wrong directions. It'll start setting codes for other stuff. We had a question there about the misfire on the O2 sensor. Again, we want to focus on the most priority code first and ignore some of the other stuff before we dive in real deep. If you start diving in to watching the O2 sensors when, you know, like say an O2 sensor bias rich or an O2 sensor bias lean or some other air fuel ratio codes on the O2 sensor while you have a misfire, you are just chasing your own tail. Get the engine running right and then see if that other code comes back, because the O2 sensor might just be actually showing you what the engine is doing, right? And I see that with transmission diagnostics too. You know, if you have transmission codes, but you have engine drivability problems, depending on what it is, you got to get the engine running good so that the transmission knows what's going on. And I see that with like electrical, that's a big one with code analysis with voltage problems. If you have an alternator that's not charging and you've got a bunch of circuit codes, don't go chasing wiring. Fix the alternator. Put a battery in, like get the voltage where it needs to be, step one, and then clear everything, go drive it and see what codes come back. The alternator or a bad battery, especially a bad battery with like a bad cell where it's able to just suck up that voltage. Electricity always chooses the least path of resistance. So if you have a shorted cell in the battery, it's just going to be drawing that voltage in, and it's not going to have enough to command some of the other sensors. And unfortunately, some of the major controls in the transmissions are the last one in line to get their juice, I guess you could put it that way. And now you got, you know, infotainment centers and heated seats, and you got all these electronics that are just drawing a lot of amperage. And then you got an alternator that's, I mean, realistically, it's a little underrated for most of these vehicles. And with everything loaded, if you got something drawing a little extra than it was designed to, you start losing the voltage to the injectors, which is huge because they pull a lot, all those solenoids. I mean, thousands of volts for those injectors, especially on the GDIs, the direct injection. So my point is, you have to kind of go common sense first and know, okay, these series of orders of operations need to be fixed first before we start diving into some of the smaller stuff. Let's fix the main concerns, voltage problems. You know, it's like, with a transmission, if it's not shifting right and it's low on fluid, you don't need to like dive into the, you just need to put fluid in it and then see if it corrects itself, right? Like that's how simple it is. It sounds simple, but sometimes with diagnostics, you get in a little over your head and start overthinking everything. And of course, our human brains want to think about like the worst case scenario. Sometimes it's a lot simpler than that. Not every time, but sometimes. And I think about like going back to electricity, I wanted to talk about like with batteries. There was a really good article that one of our techs sent in our internal group about how voltage is like water, and how the pressure and the amperage goes in. And sometimes you can have a battery that won't hold a charge, right? Like immediately it's dead, but then it immediately charges real quickly. It doesn't create any pressure inside the battery. And you want to, when you put a dead battery on a charger, you want to see a huge current ramp. That thing needs to start pulling in a ton of amperage. And if you got a dead battery and you put a charger on there and you notice the gauge isn't pulling a lot of amperage in, it's usually because the battery's dead. It doesn't have the capacity to pull in any amperage. That was really interesting. I'll get into that a little more here after the break.
Ace Auto Care, across the street from Atascadero Hay and Feed in Atascadero.
News on Jack Callahan. Iran reimposing restrictions on the Strait of Hormuz and one of its gunboats firing on a cargo ship there today. The country's joint military command saying it will continue to block transit through the state so long as the U.S. blockade of Iranian ports remains. President Trump says, though, good conversations with Tehran continue. The president has signed an executive order today hastening FDA review of a psychedelic drug that could treat PTSD.
In many cases, these experimental treatments have shown life-changing potential for those suffering from severe mental illness and depression, including our cherished veterans. Our veterans are having a tremendous hard time. You know, the suicide rate, we have it down a little bit, but they are having a hard time.
America is listening to Fox News.
Are you curious what your valuables are worth? Plan to go to Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry May 19th through the 21st for the estate buying event. Speak with the specialists who will give your items a free, no-obligation offer. They will be buying gold and silver jewelry, diamonds, coins and currency, artwork, antiques, military memorabilia, and more. Get paid for your unused valuables. For more info, call Bella Jewel Fine Jewelry at 805-238-2231 or visit bellajewel.com.
Seniors helping seniors. We provide friendship, non-medical care, and a helping hand. We hire seniors to do this because, well, they don't use TikTok. They just understand each other better. We're fully licensed, bonded, and insured. Call me, Ron Torres, 805-369-2110, 369-2110, or go to seniorcareslo.com. That's seniorcareslo.com. Seniors helping seniors.
Who's got the best breakfast around? A recent survey says it's a three-way tie between Joe's Place in Paso, Joe's Place in Templeton, and Joe's One Niner Diner at the Paso Robles Airport. Who took the survey? People with great taste who like food that tastes great. By the way, their lunches are great too. Joe's Place in Paso, Joe's Place in Templeton, and Joe's One Niner Diner at the Paso Robles Airport. Open every day from 7 a.m. to 2 p.m. for breakfast and lunch. Thank you, fellow Americans.
Adler Belmont Insurance Brokers welcomes Heather Bordan to its team of commercial property casualty professionals. With more than 20 years of experience, Heather can design insurance solutions that protect your business. Whether you're a contractor, winery owner, farmer, rancher, or manufacturer, Heather is the right person to survey your needs and develop innovative solutions to protect your most important asset. Contact Heather today, 805-540-3900, or Heather at AdlerBelmontGroup.com.
Hi, it's Brian Carroll from A1 Glass. Get rewarded when you upgrade to Milgard windows and doors and earn up to $100 back per patio door and up to $40 back per Milgard window. Enjoy better comfort, energy efficiency, a home that looks incredible, and huge savings. Don't wait, the spring sales event ends June 8th. Plus, A1 Glass is your local family-owned award-winning team, voted best on the Central Coast. A1 Glass, for all your glass needs.
Qualifying Milgard products only. Rewards issued as electronic gift cards. See A1 Glass for details.
I've got deals on latex beds. I've got deals on memory foam beds.
We're talking to Rich London, the mattress specialist.
I've got beds with springs, hybrids, where they got springs and memory foam, or springs and latex, or some with even springs, latex, and memory foam. I've got them all.
Big savings now on mattresses of all shapes and sizes at the Mattress Specialist at 13th and Riverside in Paso Robles.
We're back. You are tuned into Gearhead Radio. I'm your host, Jimmy Purdy from Shifting Gears Auto Repair. I appreciate you being here. Phone lines are open, 805-238-5775. Feel free to call in at any time if you have questions or comments, complaints. I think Leanne takes those on the back of a $100 bill. Write them out. Take them down to the shop at 1621 North River Road. Her idea, not mine. Anyway, before the break, we're talking about getting into some misfire diagnostics, but I kind of transitioned a little bit into electrical diagnostics because that's what vehicles are in this day and age. It's a lot of electrical stuff, a lot of circuit codes, a lot of wiring. If you don't, you have to know how circuits work. You really do. Wiring is such a big one, and we get a lot of sensor faults and... Yeah, we get a lot of bad parts. I mean, there's sensors that fail. Cars are getting more mileage on there than they've ever had, right? We've never had a 2002 or 2003 vehicle this old before. So you get more mileage on there, which means there's typically more aftermarket parts on the vehicle than there's ever been because the OE parts failed. Or if the OE parts survived, now they're getting to the part where we've never seen that part fail previously, because it's now, I would say, 200,000 miles on it. It's like, oh, okay, well, now we're seeing a lot of that. So, yeah. Good morning on Gearhead Radio.
I've got a... am I on the air right now?
You are, yes, sir.
Okay. I got an 87 Toyota that has a head gasket leak back near the firewall.
Okay. The 22, 20R or the 22R?
RE.
The RE.
Yeah. 22RE. Anyways, I haven't started the truck in over 2 years. Hadn't been, actually, last time it was running was December of 23. Been sitting in the driveway ever since. Anyways, so I came down to your shop about a year ago, and... there was a guy working the front office. So, what? I'm not really sure why I should be asking you. I'm sure you could probably fix the problem.
What do you got?
Huh?
Yeah. What's the question?
there really isn't any question. I guess. I guess I'll just bring it down there. What's the availability to bring it down?
Oh, anytime. Yeah, bring it in. I'll take a look at it first thing Monday morning for you and figure out what's going on. You said it's leaking out of the back, like oil or coolant?
It's oil. I checked the oil. It's fine. The water's fine. I haven't started it. In 2 years.
Okay.
I got a battery sitting in the garage.
And did you...
I can drop it in there.
Yeah, did you have us look at it for the head gasket, or you were just... Were you not able to get it in?
I've never brought it to your shop.
Okay. Yeah, we made some changes to the front there. We're having some scheduling conflicts and stuff like that. So, yeah, we definitely can get that taken care of. On the back of those, there's a little half-moon disc that's really common on the valve covers that leak.
Okay.
So I'd like to get a mirror back there or an inspection camera and determine exactly where your leak's coming from. What do you see leaking? Is it oil or just coolant?
It's just oil.
Oil, okay.
Yeah, I'm sure my radiator's probably going to need to be rotted, although, I don't know, probably be better off just getting a brand new radiator. It's a 4-core radiator in there, so...
Yeah, whatever's more convenient. We got a really good contact down in Santa Maria that... He can fix if he can't fix it, it can't be fixed. We'll put it that way. I think it's called industrial radiator. So he's open to the public. So if anybody's looking for radiator repairs, industrial radiator in Santa Maria, man, that guy is, he's a wizard when it comes to that stuff.
I'll have to have it towed down there. I got a buddy I can have him tow it down to your shop because it's through the DMV. It's on P&O.
Oh, okay.
You know, pot. Yeah.
Yeah. Understand. Well, get it down to me. Give me a call at the shop Monday morning. It'll be either me, Richard, or Mo. I'll let them know the deal, but get it down and I'll get it up. I'll take a look at it myself and we'll get a list for you of what we find. And hopefully it's just something simple like that valve cover gasket. Cause I'm very familiar with the 20R platform, 22R, 22REs. That was that's where I cut my teeth. That was some of the first head gaskets I ever did. So I'm very familiar with them.
Okay. Well, sounds good. I'll give you a holler on Monday.
Thanks for the call. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good old 22REs, little tractor motors. The best ones with the turbocharged ones. Those were fun. I lost my my train of thought where I was. Talking about... Think it'll come back to me? Probably not. Probably wasn't important anyway. Good morning, you're on Gearhead Radio.
Hey, Jim, I just want to mention again about the vintage sidecar show and British cars next Saturday in the downtown Main Street City Park.
Oh, yes.
Yes, and it's antique motorcycles and recycled treasures.
Cool, and that's next weekend, next Saturday.
Yes.
Awesome.
It's 9 till 4.
I didn't catch it. It's till 4?
Nine to four. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
And it's a deal put on by Main Street.
Awesome.
And also, it's a benefit for Honor Flight.
Very cool.
Yeah. Well,
mark your calendars.
It's veterans that have served. Welcome to sign up, and they put them on an airplane and take them back to Washington, D.C., put them up in a hotel. You go with an escort, and it's a really cool trip for some of the veterans that had served, especially during World War II and Vietnam, Korea. You know, they're up in their golden years and not really getting around much, and this is an all-expense-paid trip for them. And actually, their escorts actually pay to go. And it's really a cool thing.
That's awesome.
They get on a tour bus, and it's all, escorted, and they get to go to all the monuments and stuff and check out the wall.
That's too cool. And, yeah.
Yeah, it's really awesome. And then they go get a catered dinner down there at the Elks down in Santa Maria. Awesome.
That's a great event. Yeah, so everyone put that on your calendars next weekend at the Paso Robles City Park from 9 to 4.
Yeah. There's going to be a bunch of sidecars and all kinds of cool old antique cars.
Awesome. Thanks so much for the call.
Yeah. Bye.
What a cool trip that would be, huh? Check out the White House. Go over to Joe's Steakhouse. That's my recommendation if you're in D.C., go to Joe's and get their rock crab and a ribeye. That's the way to go. Since we're on the topic of events, I didn't get to that yet, so that's a great segue. Let's do Morro Bay Car Show, April 30th through May 2nd. That's coming up at the end of the month. An awesome car show out in Morro Bay. Cruise night is on Main Street on May 1st at 6 p.m. Saturday is the show and shine from 9 to 4. Registration is $95 per car, but you get a t-shirt and lunch, so it's not bad. $95 pretty much covers lunch. What it costs around here to eat anywhere. That was kind of negative. Gotta be positive, man. Be positive. What I'm getting at is a good deal. You get a shirt and a meal for $95. That's kind of a steal. especially if we get the included of putting your car on the show. But if you want to go check it out, it's always fun to go down there and walk around. It's Morro Bay. It's awesome. And then the cruise night's always awesome, too. Also, we have the fourth annual Supercars by the Sea. That's going to be Sunday, May 3rd. So that's coming up right around the corner. 11 to 2 at the Avila Beach Golf Resort. That's hosted by Central Coast Supercars, but they are open to almost anything. But it's a cool show if you're into supercars. A lot of kit cars and really cool stuff. It's pretty surprising how many supercars are in the area. And by supercars, I mean like GT3 RSs and like real high-end $200,000, $300,000 cars. So cool to see that stuff, especially on the coast. Golden State Classics is also coming up May 23rd. We got a month for that one, but time to start getting ready. That's at the Downtown City Park, Saturday, May 23rd from 9 to 2. This is the 18th annual Golden State Classics car show. And then we're talking before I jumped on the show with Diane about the 40th annual Classic at Pismo Beach, and that's May 29th through May 31st. So that's the end of next month. That's at Pismo. I'm sure you know all about that. Free to get in. Definitely, if you're going to go to one show, it'd probably be the Classics at Pismo. If you want like a big, like huge show to, you know, the Golden State Classics is nice because it's a little more intimate, and we'll be there handing out free coffee. So I'm a little partial to that one, but definitely want to hit up the Classic at Pismo Beach. What else do we got? Any other thing that you got going on? We do have a vintage show. Got a text about the Three Speckled Hen show, antique and vintage show Friday and Saturday of next week. So that's at the fairgrounds. So if you're going to be out and about for the sidecar show that is at the Downtown City Park next week, you can head all on over to the fairgrounds after that for the Three Speckled Hens antique vintage show. Cool stuff. Lots of fun stuff going on. Weather's great. Lots of events to go to. So get out and about. Get your motor running and hit the road. Sunday drives. You got to drive there. So I feel like all events are automotive related because you got to drive there. It's like the early days with the Model T or the Michelin stars. I'm sure you know the story about that. The Michelin tires, they were trying to find a way to get people to drive more because tires wear down when you drive, then you sell more tires. It's like the light bulb, like planned obsolescence, right? Like, well, how do we get people to buy more light bulbs? I don't know, make them last not as long. Oh, that makes sense. So the Michelin star rating system for restaurants came from the Michelin tire distributors. They wanted people to drive around, so they started finding restaurants that were really good, but they had to be really, really good. So when people actually got there, they're like, wow, this list is like actually something special. And they started doing Michelin stars. They started spacing these restaurants kind of far apart, finding them, you know, so you'd have to drive a long distance to get to them, and then making it very, very exclusive so that like when you actually drove there, it was worth your time. Genius marketing. It just really is. Same with Kingsford Coal, Kingsford Charcoal. Talk about that here in just a minute.
We're here to help. At Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
Do you use propane for your home or business? Family-owned and operated, Delta Liquid Energy has provided local area residents with dependable and courteous propane service since 1936. From home heating and cooking to powering your irrigation engine pump or forklift, propane can do it all. Don't forget their location. Paso Robles refills propane bottles of all sizes Monday through Friday and has a dump station for your RV. Learn more. Call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online deltaliquidenergy.com.
Red Scooter Deli on 6th Street has a patio that you need to check out. Enjoy your favorite Red Scooter breakfast or lunch on the cozy heated patio. Order in person or online. Check out Red Scooter's Grab and Go stock daily with wide selection. Red Scooter Deli serving you fresh food for over 16 years. Red Scooter Deli is at 711 6th Street next to the Pet Center with tons of parking. Go to redscooterdeli.com, open 6:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. daily. Use promo code KPRL for a $5 discount.
And we're back. We are rounding third base for home as we come to the fourth quarter of Gearhead Radio. That was a lot of sports analogies for me. It's a long day already. Sometimes these mornings go by quick, but sometimes they kind of wear me out a little bit. Like I've done a lot of talking. I guess it'd be awkward if I just sat here and didn't talk. It wouldn't be much of a show, would it? Anyways, if you're just tuning in, this is Gearhead Radio. I come on every morning from, not every morning, every Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Keep it together here. We're gonna close this out with a bang. We're going right through to the end. Thanks for tuning in. Mark your calendars. Make sure you're always tuning in every Saturday from 9 to 10 a.m. so you can get the latest and greatest. Sometimes I don't get to everything I want to get to, but that's all right. There's always next Saturday. If you have any problems with your vehicle throughout the week, I recommend using Shifting Gears. That's just my recommendation. We're located at 1621 North River Road in Paso Robles. You can check us out online at shiftinggears805.com. Make your appointment online super easy, or just call us. It's easy too. Once you become a member, a client, you start earning 2% back on all your rewards. It's called the Key Lime Club Rewards. We do a little bit of automated texting, so my apologies if that's offensive to you, but once you come in, you will receive a text. It's automated that tells you all about the rewards, how to get them, how to access them, how to use them. Super easy. And if you want to refer anybody, I can't explain how much I appreciate the referrals, but we want to pay you for that. So you also earn money back on referrals through our referral program as well. And if you have a small business that you'd like to promote through our work, please come in and talk to us. I'm all about keeping small businesses supported, helping the community. So we want to support that as well. All right, back to what I was talking about. What was I talking about? Kingsford Charcoal. That just came up. We were talking about Michelin stars and how the advertising for Michelin stars restaurants, right, for tires to get back on the road. So Kingsford did the same thing. That's actually from Ford Motor Company. When the, you know, Mr. Henry Ford was trying to find a way, how do I get people to drive these trucks more? If we drive them more, you know, they break down, they'll go buy more trucks, and people will buy more because that's what they want to do. Take a Sunday cruise. We'll take a Sunday cruise and have a barbecue. And he invented Kingsford Charcoal so that they could, every Model T that was sold came with a bag of Kingsford Charcoal so that you would go out and barbecue on Sunday. How cool is that? It's the little things, you know, you don't really think about, but they were super, super effective. I think the Michelin star rating was one of the most effective ones that kind of, I mean, if you're thinking about that, you're like, you're going to, what? You sell tires and you're going to go rate restaurants? That doesn't make any sense at all. But now it's like one of the biggest, highest alkalides that you can get is like a alkalade you can get as a restaurant. Crazy. Crazy where it all comes from. The automotive industry. And that's why you're here listening to this today. Maybe. Anyways. Got through all the events here. One thing I want to circle back on was I was talking about some diagnostic stuff when it comes to electricity. And one of the ways I like to try to like make it make sense in my mind, and this might not help you, it just helps me. Excuse me. Is thinking about electricity as water. There's a YouTube channel called Alpha Phoenix. Great, great analogies of like how electricity works. He did this experiment where he was able to monitor electrons in a wire, and they behave just like water does. It's wild. Just check out Alpha Phoenix on YouTube if you want to know more about that. But when you're charging a battery, I look at it this way. you might have a battery, you don't have a tester. So I kind of talk about if you hook a battery charger up and it's not pulling a lot of amperage, but the battery is not starting the car, it's not because it's full, it's because it doesn't have the capacity to take in any more juice. So thinking of it this way, like a water balloon. So when the balloon is empty, you can push in a lot of water very quickly, which is high amps. So as you're filling up the water balloon, that water is like amperage, and you can watch that on the gauge, on the meter, on your battery. The battery charger will crank all the way into the green and start sucking up a lot of amperage. Now, as it's doing that, there's very little pressure or volts because the balloon is not stretched all the way. Now, as it fills, the balloon starts to stretch and push back. So less water starts going in. It kind of starts slowing down a little bit. So the amperage drops, but the pressure increases. So the volts start to rise as the balloon starts to stretch. So when it's almost full, it's tight and it can't add any more to the fact that it almost is going to pop. And that means that the voltage is at its top level now. So that's the reason why you want to make sure you're using a 12 volt charger and a 12 volt battery, 24 volt charger and a 24 volt battery, or 48 or whatever it is, because you want it to top out. If you add more than 12 volts capacity to that, it's going to rupture the battery, just like a water balloon is going to pop. So, and then once it's full, only a tiny amount of amperage can go in. So that's why it's important when you're charging the battery, if it's completely dead, you do want to get that inrush of amperage to get that balloon or the battery to start sucking up that amperage. Then you want that battery charger to start kind of dialing back. And that's where smart chargers come in, like Noco. Noco makes a really nice charger that automates that process. But you don't want to just jack a battery up on high amperage and walk away for hours. That's not what you want. You want that first inrush, but you want it to kind of slow down. And that's where a trickle charger comes in. Once that battery is full, you want to just slowly add. Think of the water balloon having a little pinhole in it, a very, very small pinhole, right? So it's losing a little bit of voltage, but you're able to just slowly trickle in a little bit more, and it keeps that battery topped off. And that's where those top pin chargers come in. It just keeps it nice and topped off. You're not inrushing a bunch of amperage and like stuffing it in there and causing that balloon to rupture. And that's what can happen with a battery. So I don't know if that helps kind of the analogy. It's not perfect one-to-one in that sense, but it's kind of a way to start seeing how electricity in the vehicle works. And the same with the alternator. The alternator does the same thing. If the battery gets real low, like after initial start, that amperage has got a spike. So that alternator pushes a lot of amperage back into the battery because it just used a lot of amperage to turn the motor over. And then the alternator drops that amperage way down and then just goes into just topping it off with voltage, keeping the pressure in the battery high. That's what it's trying to do. Now, if you have a bad battery, like a bad cell in the battery that's constantly pulling in a lot of amperage, then that alternator can't keep up because it's only designed to do that first inrush and then just kind of keep it topped off. So it can't build any pressure. It can't keep that pressure built in because you have a ruptured cell. And that's where you start having problems now with the rest of the electronics in the vehicle also sucking the electricity, and it just can't keep up with all of it. And then you start losing. And you get to the point, and I'm circling back to the beginning of the show, where you start getting misfires, you start getting transmission problems, because you don't have the proper electricity to function all these electronic components that are on the car. So try to circle that back and tie that in with how I started the show there. But I thought it was a cool analogy. It's a cool way to look at it. And it's super interesting to see how electricity works in the real world. And you can spend a lot of time watching that YouTube channel about it, and it doesn't really help anything, but there's another episode that he did that showed how the electrons actually float through the air, not through the wires. It's a little much, but I really enjoy that kind of stuff. Again, if you're in the automotive industry, you better know electrical. That's the main thing. So, all right, getting down to the end here. Got about 30 seconds left. I don't want to get back onto another tangent because then the damn thing cuts me off. Got a couple recalls I'll get to next week. Again, mark calendars. Lots of events coming up if you're looking to get out and about. Always check our website. I try to keep all that stuff updated with any events going on. If you know any events going on, always feel free to call in every Saturday with anything specifically automotive related. Keep in mind, we still have the cruise rotations. I think last night was Paso, so next Friday we'll be out in San Miguel with the Friday cruise. starts anytime after 5. It's usually a good time, so put that down on your calendar next Friday in Santa Margarita. Did I say San Miguel? It's Santa Margarita. I tried to keep it together. I think we did it. Made it happen. Anyway, have a great weekend. See you next Saturday. See ya.
Gearhead Radio with Jimmy Purdy is brought to you by Shifting Gears and Pass Robles on River Road. You can trust Jimmy and his team to take care of you and your vehicle the first time, every time. You're listening to The Right Choice, AM 1230, KPRL 99.3 FM. Paso Robles, Tascadero, and Templeton.